Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
That means that the dollar in use is a hoax. It's a fraud. It's
we're taking the general's words very, very serious.
What he's initially charged with, the thief, felony, reckless endangerment.
Epic fail.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, taking your ass to the edge of reality since 1990. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we take you through the looking glass every night to that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We thank Dr. Ron Tarner for joining us this evening, as well as Bob Green. And we are in our news hour here. I got Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way here. And somebody just sent me a picture of Gary Ridgway. Who did that?
I did, because you said you wanted to see the dead eye.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Rance about the... Why were we talking about that?
I don't know. There's something in the news. And then he said, he had a dead eye.
Dead eyes, Bud. I think I pluralized it. Gary Ridgway, yeah. And I'm looking actually at a website called Fine Art Gallery, and in it they have pictures of all of the people that have been responsible for mass murders. All right. What the hell website is this, man?
I don't know. It's a place I found out about.
It looked like they got all the pictures of, like, who that guy? The Chinaman.
What do you mean the Chinaman? Don't say Chinaman. How many times I told you not to say Chinaman?
I'm sorry. I mean the guy that did the Virginia Tech.
The Virginia Tech guy, yeah. Gary Ridgway was a psychopath, man. You look at that guy's kisser, there ain't nothing there. He's got these eyeballs that are, it's sheer death. That kid, that Asian kid from the Virginia Tech killings, he's another one. Oh, here's a picture of Hitler. Here's another, what the hell is this? Precision Ancient Minoan Fresco Art Restorations. Get out of here, will you?
I don't know.
You guys go to some of the weirdest websites. The Minoans of Crete and Thera. Anyway, U.S. Church to go ahead with September 11th Quran burning. So I just wanted to finish this up before we move on. And as we move on, you know, coming up on Saturday is the anniversary, the ninth anniversary of 9/11. So there'll be more and more of these stories coming out. There's a documentary on Channel 4 BBC, England, UK, that concerns the hours following the 9/11 attack. And as we get further away from any historic event and the reporting becomes more clear-eyed and a little less emotional and a little less tinged with a political bias and ideologic slant, suddenly it's an interesting thing about events. They just, you can't hide the facts forever. And this idea that President Bush was some kind of a coward that was popularized by Michael Moore, who is just one big, fat, moving agenda. We now find this was not the case at all. Of course, it is Condoleezza Rice weighing in, and she must be lying, right? Okay. But Michael Moore is just one quivering, blubbering ball of agenda, man, you know?
What do you mean?
I mean, the guy is, you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy, he's just a big ball of agenda.
Right. Anyway, U.S. Church to go ahead. So I was playing this audio of this jackball, so let's finish up, okay? This is the preacher. His name is Terry Jones, and he is doing this. He's not doing this because he cares about Islam. He's not doing this because he cares about America. He's not doing this because he cares about anything other than packing those seats so we can get the contributions up on Sunday. So, the hell is that, man? Turn that off, bud. I don't need music underlying this. Or maybe we do. I don't know. Get me something like, as a matter of fact, if I've got to listen to this guy, we might as well have something that I think was, give me the Indiana Jones theme. There you go. Here we go. Here is Terry Jones.
We are taking the general's words very, very serious. We are continuing to pray about the action on September the 11th. We are indeed very concerned about it. We don't know. I mean, how long do we back down? When does America stand for truth? I mean, instead of us being blamed for what other people will do or might do, why don't we send a warning to them? Why don't we send a warning to radical Islam and say, look, don't do it.
Right. But as long as we're talking about you, Terry, let's just get some American soldiers killed. I mean, when do we do this? Get yourself a few American soldiers killed, and then on Fox Television Orlando, CARE Florida President Raheed Mahdi speaks out against the burning.
He has the right to do so in the First Amendment. In the First Amendment, we're not denying that right. But is it the right thing to do? Is it moral? Is it the Christian thing to do? What is this message fit of Christianity? Jesus love you. Is Jesus love you is to burn a book, a holy book of a whole Islam? I think this is inappropriate.
Anyway, so that's what they're saying down there in Orlando, Florida. Jones gained some local notoriety last year when he posted signs in front of his small church proclaiming Islam is the devil. Orlando, Florida, this is Gainesville, Florida, right? Is it Orlando or Gainesville? What I'm finding out about this part of Florida, shall we say, is I don't know, you know, like there are some areas that grow corn and some areas that have like Silicon Valley, and there's some places that are good fishing areas. Central Florida is great for preachers. Man, they got all kinds. And all those cats down there are competing with each other, you know, to get people.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have TV shows too, don't they?
Some of them have TV shows.
Like those two guys you were telling me about.
Well, that was an interesting story. I said there was two preachers down in Orlando, and one of them had an affair with the other guy's wife, and the other guy found out about it, and the other guy got arrested because he had a hit put out on the other guy. I mean, these are preachers. You know, at some point you're going to say, look, you guys have got problems, and I certainly understand that life is difficult, but preacher, you ain't. I ain't going to your church. So Central Florida is known for this, and they've got an abundance of them. So I guess these guys have got to do what they got to do to get people in the front door, right? I don't ever believe any of this stuff. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? This is what I mean. When a guy says, I'm burning the Quran because I really care that Islam is really hurting America, I don't believe him for a second. Nobody can be that stupid. No one can be that stupid. No one can be that stupid and get that kind of press. I'm going to burn the Quran on September the 11th. What is the message? Because Islam sucks. The whole religion is just a piece of crap. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe all of Christianity is crap. I would rather not go there, if you don't mind. I'd rather not just get into that debate. I'd rather just, whatever, do whatever, you know. That's between you guys. You don't tell me, man. If some Christian dude is burning the Quran, or if some Muslim dude is burning the Bible, that's just the clash of egos in those two religions. That's just holy man versus holy man. And I think it's a disgrace, but it ain't nothing. I got nothing to do with me. So that jackass down there, that Jones, hey, man, you can talk. Whoever it is you're talking to, it ain't me, all right? You're talking to all the holy men on your block, and you're talking to the other holy men there in the Muslim faith, and maybe a few rabbis, too. And you guys are just, if you'll pardon the expression, you're whipping it out and comparing sizes to see who's, you know, who's going to be staying on the street longer. So he's going to burn his Quran, and that's where that's at. Now, the only problem is it's leaked out the word down to Afghanistan and other places where there's lots of Muslims, and now there's protests, and now they're going to be pissed off at American soldiers. But this scumbag, he don't care. Condoleezza Rice, meanwhile, said that she shouted at President Bush not to come back to D.C. after 9/11. The bunker that had Vice President Cheney almost ran out of oxygen. This and other tidbits will be featured in a forthcoming documentary on 9/11 called 9/11 State of Emergency on Channel 4 BBC Saturday. So those of you who are listening to me in the UK, it'll be on your television. Back here in the States, we won't get it for a couple of years. We'll probably have it on YouTube in 6 months. Condoleezza Rice revealed that she shouted at President George Bush and banned him from returning to Washington to run the country in the chaotic few hours following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Well, can she really ban the President of the United States? No, she can't. But one thing she can do, she can hang the phone up on him, which is what she did. Roughly 30 minutes after terrorists flew a second hijacked airliner into the World Trade Center in New York, Ms. Rice, then the National Security Advisor, became involved in a heated exchange with President Bush when he telephoned to announce plans to fly back to the White House, which at the time was still considered a potential terrorist target, to take control of the unfolding security crisis. She told him several times to remain in the comparative safety of Florida, where he'd been visiting a school at the time of the attacks. When President Bush attempted to overrule her, Ms. Rice responded by shouting at him. before he could further argue the toss, or the, I don't know what they mean by the toss. I think that's a...
probably a British term. It's for masturbation.
Will you shut up? No, it's not. Get out of here, you jackass.
What'd you do?
It ain't about that, man.
It ain't a... It, thank you, Robert. It ain't about that.
Yeah, it is. That's what they say.
That, not in this context, you jackball. Before he could further argue the issue, shall we say, she promptly ended the call. The president got on the phone and he said, I'm coming back and there ain't no stopping me. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm coming back. And she recalled in an interview for a British documentary, she said, quote, you cannot come back here. The United States of America is under attack. You have to go to safety. We don't know what's going on out here. You ain't coming back. Do you understand, you dumbass? I'm kidding. She said, you're not coming back, Mr. President. He said, I said to him, you can't. I said in a raised voice, and I never raised my voice to the president before, you cannot come back here. And I hung up. The president was quite annoyed with me, to say the least. I've known the president a long time, and I knew that he wanted nothing more than to be there at the helm of the ship. Now, the comments by Ms. Rice, which will be aired in Channel 4 documentary 9/11 State of Emergency Sanity, provide an intriguing insight into the circumstances surrounding President Bush's immediate response to the 2001 terrorist attack, which at the time were mocked by his opponents. Guy Adams, writing for The Independent in Great Britain, and Guy's in Los Angeles, so he ought to know, says, quote, as Michael Moore famously documented in his film Fahrenheit 9/11, Mr. Bush was informed of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center when he was on his way to visit a Florida elementary school. I don't know that he was informed of it when he was on his way. Was he? I want my staff working on this.
What?
Go and find out when President Bush was informed of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center. Was he on his way to the school or was he there?
Well, Michael Moore said he was on his way.
That's why I want you to double-check it, because I don't believe his fat ass. In any event, shortly afterwards, an aide told him that a second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that the U.S. was, quote, under attack. His immediate response was to read a book called The Pet Goat to a group of school children for nearly 7 minutes. Now, this is something that is not understood by the press, by the BBC, by Michael Moore, but it is understood to anyone that has children or anyone that wants to make sure that children are not frightened or in a panic about something. The president said that he was going to be there and he was going to read to these children, and if he had gotten up and left quickly, it might have frightened these kids, and it was his instinct, perhaps, as a father or a grandfather that led him to do that. Now, cynical people will say, no, it's because he was gutless. Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. So while the president was sitting there, they say prevaricating, it now emerges that fear and chaos were developing in the bunker beneath the White House where Ms. Rice had returned with Vice President Dick Cheney. According to my staff, the president was reading to the kids at the time the first plane hit the world. All right, anyway. Communication systems were failing, forcing staff to use unsecure. Look, you can believe what you want. I can lie to you and say, oh, yeah, Michael Moore, the cat, he's dead on. Once again, he's right about everything, and he's just fantastic. And I think that he is just a great guy. And I think he believes in labor, unless, of course, it means the GM is going to exist another week. Then he wants a bunch of guys out in the street because he doesn't want to bail out GM. Floyd Mayweather apologizes for his rant, and Obama says he's being spoken to like a dog. Next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Anyway, so the BBC, this guy writing in The Independent was basically saying that Bush was evading the truth and that Michael Moore Michael Moore is the guy that really has the inside information. That's what he's saying. When he said the president was prevaricating, that means the president was avoiding the truth of what had just happened. And I think that first of all, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that in the record that says that at all. There are people who are interpreting what he did that wish that it meant that, but that's not what the record indicates. That's not what the historic, what the facts of the situation indicate. The president found out about this while he was sitting reading to these children. He then finds out about another plane hitting in the middle of reading the children this story, and then he left. And then he wanted to come back to Washington. But because this is such a disappointing piece of fact for this writer, Guy Adams of The Independent, he has to accuse President Bush of prevaricating, which is essentially ignoring the facts of the situation that the World Trade Center been hit. It's an ignorant and ideologically and politically slanted piece of writing, which is more and more what we get. And I don't care. I mean, as long as I know what I'm reading. And Moore, what are you going to do about Moore? You know, he's not a documentarian. He's a propagandist. But I digress. I'm not going to let that fat creep screw my day up anymore, okay?
Well, I mean, Michael Moore, he did the Fahrenheit 9/11, which was bitching.
Fahrenheit 9/11, I wipe my rear end with, okay? Do you understand me, bud? Wipe my rear end with that whole movie.
Yeah, you wish you would have made it.
Why do I wish I would have made that movie?
Made a lot of money.
Okay, made a lot of money. I don't wish I would have made it. That movie was just a propaganda piece, that's all.
I thought it was a documentary.
It looked like a documentary, but it wasn't a documentary. A documentary is a piece of objective journalism. That was a piece of propaganda. That was a... don't get me on. Okay, just get out of here, you guys, with all of that stuff. I don't want to talk about that, okay?
Yeah, but I mean... Wasn't that what it was?
No, it wasn't, man. It was Moore blaming the world's problems on, you know, his ideologic rivals. That's what it's Michael Moore saying. I know why the world sucks. It's because there's conservatives, which he may be right in a lot of respects. I think the world sucks because there's a lot of conservatives, too. But I also think the world sucks mighty hard because there's a lot of damn liberals. There's a lot of fat asses like him. There's a lot of jackasses like that preacher there in Gainesville and everybody in between. All right. Speaking of fascists, Floyd Mayweather, I'm kidding around, Floyd. You're funny, but they didn't appreciate the humor of your rant like I did.
This guy was pretty funny.
Let me just do it, okay, bud? Floyd Mayweather apologizes for racist rant on Manny Pacquiao. I really didn't mean it. Really? Well, Floyd Mayweather, as you know, made a series of statements. We aired them for you last week, where he was going on and on and on about Manny Pacquiao and this and that. And it was some people said profane. Some people said it was racist. I didn't really hear anything racist in it. I thought it was some lowbrower ethnic humor. Mayweather's apology came via the same vehicle he used to call Pacquiao a yellow chump, U.S. stream and internet video site. It came after a day in which Mayweather was pilloried by media for his original remarks, which first started making the rounds last Thursday. I do want to apologize for what happened the other night. We're going to play for you the apology, and then we're also going to play for you the, the original remarks, which I should play the original remarks, and then we'll play the apology. Here is Floyd Mayweather saying that don't jump on the bandwagon after he beats Manny Pacquiao. The audio quality is less than optimal because Mayweather recorded it on his computer's webcam, and he's screaming his guts loose.
So the fans ain't got to worry about me fighting the midget. Don't worry about it, because, you know, once I kick the midget ass, once I kick the midget ass, I don't want y'all to jump on my dick. So y'all better jump on, y'all better get on the bandwagon right now, because once I kick the midget ass, I don't want y'all to jump on my dick. All that before we knew he was going to do it. Because once I stomp the midget, I'm going to make me a sushi roll and cook me some rice.
Okay, so anyway.
And I do want to apologize for what happened the other night. I want to apologize to everybody, because everybody said that they thought it was a racist comment that came from me. And I don't have a racist bone in my body. You know, I love everybody. You know, right here, you know, some of my guys are Muslim. Some of my guys are Jews. You know, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Mexicans, white, it doesn't matter. There's nothing but love in my heart.
Right on, brother.
Boy, what a headache.
So that's Floyd Mayweather. I could play more, but why would I want to do that?
He better make me a sushi roll. He better make me a shrimp tempura cut roll. Tim's with the room we got, the Tempiyaki room.
Tempiyaki. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Blah, 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 blah.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
But it isn't just Floyd Mayweather. No, it's Morrissey. Floyd Mayweather with his rant about, Manny Pacquiao and the sushi cut roll and the tempiyaki. Well, that's one thing. That's one venue. That is the venue. That is the ring. That's the prize ring. That's professional boxing. But now we move into the world of music. Club music, to be more specific. Dance music. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. Morrissey just called the Chinese a subspecies.
This beautiful creature must die.
Oh, shut up. Anyway,
what was that?
That's Morrissey singing some song about meat is murder. Yeah, I'll bet it is.
Yeah, I'll bet it. Well, it's coming from him.
Yeah, you're right, Morrissey. Meat is murder, man. Anyway, he was the lead singer of the Smiths at one time, and he performed that song, Meat is Murder, because he's big time with animal rights, and I can certainly dig that. I'm down with that. The former Smith singer and author of the song Meat is Murder is a long-term vegetarian, animal rights advocate, and a campaigner against circuses and zoos. I agree with all of that.
Yeah, you don't like no zoo or anything like that.
No, I don't.
You're not gay, though.
Well, it's got nothing to do with anything. You're not gay, though. So he's gay, so what?
But I just want to make sure that people, it's clear in their minds.
Yo, thank you very much, bud. And now he's, you don't have to pat me on the thigh.
Well, just get out of here.
Anyway, animal rights advocate, campaigner against circuses and zoos, Morrissey. He is now in hot water. In an interview with the Guardian Weekend magazine, Morrissey has sparked outrage for describing Chinese people as subspecies. Subspecies because of their treatment of animals. Now, Morrissey, who last year abandoned the stage at the Coachella Festival in California because of the smell of cooking meat, he said, but it was actually because nobody was listening to him. They were all wandering off to smoke, a fat blunt. Anyway, described the treatment of animals in China as absolutely horrific, referring to recent news stories about animals in Chinese circuses and zoos. He told interviewer Simon Armitage, "Did you see the thing on the news about their treatment of animals and animal welfare?" And Simon said, "Yes, I wrote it." No, he didn't say that. Absolutely horrific, he said. "You can't help but feel that the Chinese are a subspecies." It really is just crude racism, said Martin Smith, a spokesman for the nonprofit Love Music Hate Racism. "When you start using language like subspecies, either you know what it means, or if you're Morrissey, you don't really. You just remember seeing the movie about the bloodsuckers. You're entering into dark and murky water, and I don't want to be in anything dark or murky with Morrissey around," said Mr. Smith.
Did he really?
No. "I don't think we would or could ask him to come back after that." Come back to what, man? Look, let me explain to you what Morrissey was saying there, okay?
But you gotta admit that racist.
No, hold on for a minute. Hold on. Morrissey, because either he's not sure of the definition of the term. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't racist. It was not racist. No cat like that is going to say something racist, man. That guy is Mr. Politically Correct right on down to his tights. There's no way.
Well, yeah, but he's talked about being a subspecies.
I know that, bud. Will you listen to what I'm saying? Morrissey is like a vegetarian. The cat is like into human rights. The cat's into animal rights. He ain't going to say anything racist. This is what he meant. The term subspecies to Morrissey is like calling somebody a Neanderthal. Is that racist?
Well, I mean,
yeah, is it racist to say someone's a Neanderthal?
I mean, if you say it about a black man.
Wait a second. Are you trying to tell me that I could say it about a white man, it ain't racist? You say it's racist?
Yeah, I think it is if you say it about a black man.
Oh, you're nuts, man. Women have been calling men Neanderthals for decades. All right? Is that racist?
Well, it can't be racist because the women, if the woman called you a Neanderthal and she was black, and say you were black, okay? Let's just say, let's pretend you were black, okay?
Okay.
And say she called you Neanderthal, okay?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay. If you're black and she's not, then it is. But if you're black and...
Shut up, man. What he's trying to say is, if you're a black man, okay?
Yes, I'm listening.
And the woman call you Neanderthal, and maybe she's black and maybe she's white. If she's white and she call you Neanderthal, she's just saying she don't like you like a cruel man. If she's black and she call you Neanderthal, that's racist if you're white. You know?
You know something? Both of you guys are dumber than Morrissey. Oh, look at that. My camera just fell again. Hold on. I now believe that both of you guys are dumber than Morrissey. Hold on for a minute. You know, I'm telling you something, man. I'm starting to really... This is tightening my jaws. This camera going belly up is tightening my jaws, man.
You want me to, like, nail it on there or something?
You're not going to nail anything on there. Will you guys listen to me for a minute? Saying somebody is a subspecies, on the surface of it, sounds racist. Yes, it does. But that means the person using that term has to be, fairly intelligent. I don't think Morrissey's intelligent, just because he thinks that meat is murder or whatever it is you want to... Just because this guy believes that, you know, circuses and zoos suck doesn't mean he's a brain surgeon. When he said subspecies, he was thinking like Neanderthal. He was thinking like idiot, like jackass. He didn't understand that what he was saying was essentially... less than human, a less than human species. Is it racist? Yes. Did he mean it that way? He's not bright enough.
What are you talking about, Morris? He's gay.
Oh, well, and that must mean he's a genius, huh?
Well, you know, man, they're going to be more, like, smart than other people.
What are you talking about, man? Because the cat's gay, he's a genius.
Well, you got to know what it means.
I'm telling you, no, he doesn't. I'm telling you, he used that term like Neanderthal. He's got to be smart. He's gay.
Well, so he said subspecies, and he's like, yeah, but that's cool. That doesn't mean nothing.
He wasn't even thinking that it was a racist term, because he ain't all that bright. I'm telling you, he's not, man. I'm just telling you. Morrissey said in a statement reacting to criticism of his comments, if anyone has seen the horrific and unwatchable footage of the Chinese cat and dog trade, animals skinned alive, then they could not possibly argue in favor of China as a caring nation. There are no animal protection laws in China, and this results in the worst animal abuse and cruelty on the planet, except for America, which, as you know, everything stinks there. By the way, I'll be appearing in Los Angeles this coming September. No, he didn't say that. Well, you can say all you want, Morrissey, about the Chinese and how they all skinning dogs and cats, right? But you got to admit, you're an idiot. You didn't know what subspecies meant. Because I know that you don't think the Chinese are less than human. I think you were just embarrassed to find out that subspecies meant what it meant, and you don't want your fans to know that you're kind of a blockhead. Listen, he vehemently denied the accusations of racism. I abhor racism and oppression or cruelty of any kind and will not let this pass without being absolutely clear and emphatic. Racism is beyond common sense and has no place in our society, he said in a statement. Well, okay, that proves he's a moron.
Yeah, but I mean, he said a racist thing.
He might have said a racist thing, but he didn't know it was racist. That proves he's an idiot. Simon Price, a music journalist, because his name is Simon and everyone in England who is a music journalist is named Simon and who has followed Morrissey's career closely, said his diehard fans who have idolized him for more than 25 years would be unlikely to desert him because they're just as dumb as he is. But others would be appalled, if not exactly surprised. Aha! The singer appeared to have left little room for explanation in his controversial comment. He added, what are the apologists going to say this time? It looks like in his old age, Morrissey has forgotten to include the ambiguity like he has done in the past. Maybe he just doesn't care anymore. It looks like in his old age, Morrissey's the brain cells are collapsing, and he don't even know what subspecies means anymore. He added, for Morrissey's hardcore fan base, all six of them, no matter what he says, he can do no wrong. He could goose step. He could just shove them into the ovens by the dozens. But this is not going to make those in the media feel favorably toward him. Mm-mm, no siree, Bob, said Simon. And lots of doors will be shut to him that maybe had been ajar in the past. But once they saw him coming, were slammed shut.
Well, what's, yeah, that's what they mean, though.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
Yeah, no, the doors were open to him, but then when they saw him coming, they shut him.
Yeah, because...
No, wait, don't. When I make a joke, don't try to make it serious, okay?
No, but that is serious.
No, it's not serious. That we're ajar to him means that we're ajar. Meaning the doors were... There were no doors open to this guy. What doors are going to be open to this guy? He's a dance guy. He's a wacko. He's all in a heap, man. This guy's a wreck. He's a mess. He's all jacked up.
No, but I mean, if the doors were ajar in the past...
And then when they saw Morrissey coming, they slammed them shut.
Then why were they ajar?
Because they thought maybe they'd like to have Morrissey, either in their nightclub or their record label. But then when they saw him coming and they realized that he called the Chinese a subspecies, they said, hey, Billy, would you shut that door? There's a draft in here. I think I smell something. It might be Morrissey.
Man, that's not right, man. You can't laugh about that.
Oh, will you guys get a sense of humor?
Yeah, but you know, he's saying something that's right.
Good for him. He's saying something that's right. I agree with him. There shouldn't be cruelty against animals. I totally agree. I don't disagree. Okay?
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying he's an idiot. Don't you understand what I mean by that, an idiot? He doesn't understand what subspecies means. He blurted it out. Then when they told him that it was actually racist, and he looked it up in his Webster's when he had, 5 minutes, and he realized they were right, well, he's got to save face. He can't come out and say, gee, I'm really sorry for being a racist. No, he's Morrissey. He's going to stand up for the dogs and cats. So he goes out there, he stands up for the dogs and cats. He does not apologize for saying what he said. He's saying that whatever he said can't be as bad as what the Chinese do to cats and dogs. And that's where that's at, man. And that's the end of the ball game. And so this Simon guy...
Yeah, well, the Simon guy is saying because he won't apologize, then they're going to slam the door shut that used to be ajar.
Uh-huh, yeah, right.
Well, what are you saying?
And I was making a joke out of that. I was saying the doors are ajar, and they're going to slam them shut as soon as they smell Morrissey coming. That's all. It's no different from what you guys were saying. God. What do I got to explain everything 50 times to you guys for?
I don't understand, man. You're trying to be funny.
Yeah, somebody's got to be. For Morrissey's hardcore fan base, no matter what he says, he can do no wrong. Of course not. But this is not going to make those in the media feel favorably toward him, and lots of doors will be shut to him that maybe had been ajar in the past. Whatever. Coming up, why is the homeless in San Francisco upset with McDonald's? Or why are the homeless in San Francisco upset with McDonald's? We'll let you know. Do you care? Oh, you don't? Well, then we won't let you know. Plus, are asteroids going to hit the Earth? No, they are not, but they're going to get close. We'll tell you about it coming up. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Morrissey's saving the cat.
Phil Hendry.
Thank you. You know, Morrissey, as long as the door's ajar, man, you might as well just push it all the way open and come on out.
That's outing him.
I'm not outing him, man. How can you out Morrissey? Man, that cat's been outed. He's just outed himself. All right, two asteroids to pass Earth closer than the moon. If they hit, we die. No, I'm kidding. But they're not going to hit, and the scientists tell us that we're completely cool and it's all beautiful, but they are going to be passing us closer to us than the moon is, and I imagine, based upon the movies I've seen, were they to hit, all life on this planet as we know it would cease to exist. However, I don't believe any of that. I believe, and can I just bring this up now, because this is the argument that I was having?
You're not going to talk about that, man.
I am going to talk about it. Now, I'm going to say it to you one more time. If an asteroid killed all the dinosaurs and the Earth was covered over with all kinds of a nuclear winter and everything was bad and everything sucked, right? Okay. Then what was that explosion that happened in Russia back in the 1900s that was in the middle of that forest that was a comet, man. That wasn't a meteor. That wasn't an asteroid. That was a comet, Jack. That's what they think it was, that hit the Earth and flattened that forest for miles around. Now, that was one hell of an explosion. That was a major, major, major event. And people still are, scientists are still talking about it and theorizing as to what it was. And that happened in the forests of Russia, I think around the turn of the century, around 1910, 1911, something like that. As big as any asteroid hitting the planet. I mean, Jack, it was, at the very least, it was some kind of a massive meteor. Hit the planet, and guess what?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, no, yeah, but.
Yeah, but I mean, you're trying to say... What are you trying to say? That couldn't have been as big.
Well, how big's it got to be, man? If they're telling me that one freaking asteroid, man, hits the planet Earth and makes such an explosion that it kills all the dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
Then why didn't that one that hit in Russia at the turn of the 20th century, why didn't that kill everything on the planet?
I don't think it was as big.
Well, how big? Look at, man, all I know is these guys talk about this meteor that hit the planet Earth as being big enough. You know, they think they found the crater. It's no bigger than the size of the radius of the explosive, the area that seems to be affected by that explosion in 1910. It's about the same size explosion. Science sometimes has a tendency to overstate the case because they don't want to, they don't want to be wrong. But I think sometimes you got to understand. I mean, how do you know? Now they're finding out that that's a bunch of bullcrap.
No, it's not. About the meteor killing a dinosaur?
They're saying that it could be bullcrap.
No, it's not.
Oh, really? Well, then how come, Bud, they find no dinosaur bones, okay, at the level of the explosion? They find dinosaur bones, I think they find the dinosaur bones before the level of the explosion. But they don't, in other words, they don't find any dinosaur bones the direct result of that meteor.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. All I'm telling you is this, that explosion killed off all the dinosaur. I saw the thing on TV. They animated it and everything.
Oh, well, if they made a cartoon out of it, man.
No, not a cartoon. They animated it.
Well, that must mean that it's true then, if they animated it.
You know what I mean.
Homeless upset. I don't want to talk about it. Homeless upset about McDonald's dollar menu increase. Advocates say McDonald's targeting homeless. Well, that's terrible. That is fascism. Some unhappy meals are being served at a McDonald's in San Francisco. Homeless advocates say the decision by one of the restaurants to do away with the dollar menu is a ploy to get rid of the homeless. Maybe. Is there something wrong with that? Anyway, the McDonald's restaurant at the corner of Haight and Stanyan is the center of all the fuss. The dollar menu there was taken away about 1 month ago, and now items on what used to be the dollar menu now cost about a whole $1.50. The decision made by the owner of the franchise, how dare he, does not particularly affect any of the other McDonald's in the area. However, the restaurant is located across the street from Golden Gate Park, and an almost steady stream of homeless people who often order the cheapest items available on the menu now say the approximately half-dollar difference in price sometimes means the difference is the difference between eating and not eating. It is no wonder that some believe the price hike was aimed at the homeless population. That means that the dollar menu is a hoax, a fraud, a phony, said Blake Edwards, a homeless man. Franchise owner Natalie Gonzalez says the homeless had nothing to do with the price change. She released a statement saying this was a business decision based on a number of contributing factors. And while there are items that are no longer available at a dollar, they are still available at what I believe to be a good everyday value. If you work for a living. No, she didn't say that.
Yeah, man, that's racist if she did.
No, that's not racist. In other words, she says it was a business decision aimed at making a little more money because while the restaurant is located near the park and may receive a number of homeless customers, it also sees a lot of tourists. And you'll excuse me very much if I want to make some money with this here McDonald's. Thank you. God. Here it is, June 30th, 1908, in the Tungshuka River area of something Russia. Estimates of the energy of the blast range from 5 to as high as 30 megatons of TNT. Lord have mercy.
What was that? That was the thing that blowed up?
Yeah, it blowed up in 1908.
Yeah, but that's not as bad as what killed a dinosaur.
How do you know, man? And it came from outer space, man. It flew in from outer space, just like those asteroids. So you're going to tell me, oh, well, the thing that killed the dinosaurs, yeah, that was really big because we were all around to see that one, weren't we? And this thing that hit the forests of Russia back in 1908, well, hell, that was only 30 megatons of TNT, and that couldn't possibly have been as bad as the asteroid that, I mean, I think it's just, all of this speculation is horse dung.
Man, that's all you ever say is horse dung if it don't prove your point.
Because on account of, you know why? Because you don't want to believe the dinosaurs was killed by the meteorite.
I ain't saying that I don't want to believe it, bud. I'm just saying that I'm waiting for all the facts to come in. You know, if you pardon me for saying that, you know, I'd rather not just jump to conclusions. Our show was produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wigan, and, of course, our screener Dan Northcraft. Great job tonight, Dan. And, bud, thank you.
I hate you.
Yeah, I hate you, too. Thank you, too, Robert. PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com for all your radio needs.
Phil Hendry.